What up, what up?
Blog Talk Radio.
Ready, Rob?
Let's kick it, let's kick it, let's kick it. We back. Holiday's over.
Yeah. All right, let's get this bad boy going. Here we go. Let's have some fun.
Best 30 minutes in sports, people.
Yeah. Let's kick it off.
Let's get ready for it.
Yeah, sports is back in the air.
Gotta get ready for it.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Yeah, the time is now, as always. If you didn't know, now you know. Of course, you are talking, or you're listening to the Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today, of course, is Wednesday, January the 7th, 2015. The new year is here, Rob, man. And we are ready to kick this off. Of course, for those that are out there, you're listening to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, without further ado, I want to check in with Rob. Rob, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Doing great. Looking for bigger and better things in 2015. Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
Yeah. What it's all about. You know, we're not picking up any flags or anything like that. We're keeping it moving as always. So, you know, I always like to try to throw in little things that's been relevant too. But, of course, we want to throw out the numbers if you want to call in. Give us your thoughts, your feedback, as we always do. The call into the show, that is, of course, a toll-free number. It's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available in social media if you want to follow us on Twitter. It is the hashtag is obviously @12thmasports.com. And then finally, as Rob likes to point out, we're also available on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports and 12th Man, you will find us, and that is what we do. Woo! Got a lot of stuff to go over, man. That's a pretty big update. We got a lot of topics here, and Rob, booyah, without further ado, I just want to throw that in there. As I kind of make a quick joke, I do want to actually just do a quick homage to Mr. Stuart Scott, to just kind of rest in peace. This is a guy, I know it's been a minute since we had a chance to talk on the air, but Barry just always followed him, was highly impressed with him kind of being a trailblazer, Rob. And there's not enough things we can also say. It's just one of those situations too, where I obviously want to give praise for Stanley, but just what a trailblazer, and I was honored to actually watch him growing up, obviously for SportsCenter and whatnot too, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our prayers go out to his family, and obviously, definitely a trailblazer for African Americans in the sports casting industry, and definitely someone as you and I trying to make a way in the industry as well, that we can remember and kind of look up to. Had his own style, had his own pizzazz, had his own flavor that was unique to sports broadcasting, and then even with that, he was very articulate, and so mm-hmm. that was very encouraging to see. And will certainly be missed.
Gotcha. So anyway, I know we always wanted to throw that out there too, not to, you know, be a little down on the show, but this, you know, something that we wanted to, you know, point out to you for sure. But let's kind of kick it off. We got a lot of things to talk about, and first and foremost, this is pretty much breaking news, Rob, and we're going to get right into you know, we love the NFL, so. Pretty big news, and that I don't think this was a huge surprise, but Jameis Winston has actually declared for the NFL draft. And the question that we have posted is, where will he land? And, you know, right now we have an interesting draft order kind of looking at where we are right now. Obviously, the number one pick belongs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South. You got a couple teams that may need a quarterback, Rob, from the Tennessee Titans. You know, I don't know if you know, the Jets are kind of a solid quarterback, you know, the Bears. You know, you got a couple different teams here that may need a quarterback, Rob. So, I guess, do you think he's going to go number one, Rob, or do you think he's going to actually fall to Tennessee? Is Zach Mettenberger the answer What are your thoughts as we kind of get prepared for the Winston storm, and then what's going to happen with him progressing on the next level?
Well, obviously, I think he is the most pro-ready quarterback coming out in this draft when you're talking about a skill level, talent level, and also from an IQ, football IQ level. I mean, reads defenses tremendously well. Your concern with him is off-the-field incidents, but from a football talent perspective, I think he's the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. I have him going to number two in my new mock draft, or first mock draft. I shouldn't even call it new. First 2015 mock draft. I have him going number two to Tennessee in this draft. And like I said, the talent, the skill level, the smarts is there. You just hope that you can get to him and let's rectify some of these off-the-field incidents.
Yeah, Rob, and like you said, it is pretty interesting, too, because I think that's a lot of things that we hear as far as his off-the-field incidents, too. And unfortunately, he's been a knucklehead. Do you think that's going to, sometimes a situation where you think Tampa Bay is going to look over that, Rob, or you definitely think it's going to allow them to pass over him? You got him going number two. I mean, do you think that something's going to happen in the fact that he can actually grow out of certain situations, or what do you think about that?
Well, I think, obviously he's a young kid, and I really think he will grow and mature. And, you just got to hope that he gets the right veteran leadership, right coaching staff. But like I said, there's no question, from a talent skill level, even though I have Marcus Mariota going ahead of him, he's still the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft.
Good deal. And I'm sure we're going to do, another opportunity to take the time to really, dissect a lot of quarterbacks and where they're going to fall and what teams have the best needs. And we'll probably act like you're going to play the GM as far as what you think. It doesn't really matter, what fits your particular team to as well, too. So we're looking forward to that. And, Rob, I don't know if you want to – I know we're definitely going to talk about the mock draft, too, but we'll get to that. A couple of topics here. But let's give a quick NFL playoff update. If you're the Detroit Lions, wow, you kind of felt a little upset about the aspect of the game. But I think that they had more than enough time to kind of make up some time here. But interesting call. But I don't know if you want to comment over the past couple of games to see the way Carolina played really well against the Cardinals. Or tell us a little bit more about your thoughts as far as the playoff update for this past weekend.
Yeah, the Carolina game to me was not an upset. Arizona decimated by injuries, playing on third-string quarterback. I actually predicted Carolina to win that game, and they did it pretty convincingly. Anytime Baltimore and Pittsburgh get together, it's going to be a toss-up, smash-mouth football. And Baltimore pretty handled them pretty well in that contest. Indianapolis with a big win at home. Of course, Cincinnati didn't have their number one weapon in A.J. Green. But obviously, Cincinnati once again can't get over the hump when it comes to playoff football, and they have to figure out a way to rectify that. And obviously, you can make a case that, Detroit lost that game due to quite a few blown calls by the referees. It's a tough way to lose a game. The Cowboys move on. And hard to take a loss like that, but you never want to get in a predicament where you have to rely on refs. So if you're Detroit, you got to just figure out a way next season moving forward how you can take that next step.
I want to talk about the Cincinnati game too, Rob, because a couple of questions that I want to ask. I mean, number one, I'm asking, do you think Marvin Lewis is in trouble? And when I mean in trouble, I mean, obviously he's been great for that city, but has he reached kind of the pinnacle of where he can go? And then the second question is, do you think Andy Dalton can get that team to the next level? Now, obviously, it was tough because of the last week because he didn't have a lot of his weapons. That's tough for any quarterback. I know you can kind of go on the limb and say that, Tom Brady or something like that does with no-name wide receivers. But two questions as far as that with Cincinnati. I mean, I know they've had a lot of good defenses, a lot of players built around him, but is Andy Dalton the answer, and is Marvin Lewis kind of in trouble there?
Well, I think Marvin Lewis' job is safe in Cincinnati. I think when you look at that roster, it's still a pretty young roster. I think it's still pretty a team that has potential. But your second question is the Andy Dalton question. I'm not sure he's the guy that can lead them there, and that's going to have to be something that Cincinnati evaluates. You know, and obviously getting a franchise quarterback is not easy, especially when you're going to the playoffs every year. You're not drafting high, and obviously teams are not going to trade a franchise quarterback. So if you're Cincinnati, you got to figure out a way to either win with Dalton or figure out a way what you can do with that quarterback position. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, you may have to change your play style a little bit, be more of a ball control offense and a great defense. I think you have to become that kind of a team if you're going to win with Andy Dalton at the quarterback position.
Yeah, that's not a knock to my Cincinnati fans, too. I was just curious because there's been a couple times, you know, where he's been there and maybe he's been young, and I know they gave him that little extension, and there's a lot of questions that are going to happen for Cincinnati. So, you know, like you said, franchise quarterbacks don't grow on the trees, you know. So, you know, like you said, maybe you're either adjusting the style or, you know, continuing to build a team around maybe defense, maybe around a running game or something like that too. But, yeah, always an interesting topic, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. We're going to kind of kick it for college here. And you talk about just a very – man, I don't know if these are upsets or not, but just an amazing somebody called this too. Oregon at Ohio State. Man, this is for the national championship, and you talk about just a unexpected thing here. But tell us about your thoughts, Rob. Who do you think is going to pull this out? Is Oregon just going to wipe the field with Ohio State, Rob, or does Urban Meyer have a couple of tricks up his sleeve?
Well, Urban Meyer will come with a game plan with a couple of tricks up his sleeve. But I think in the end, you know, I felt this way most of the season that Oregon was the best team in the country. I still feel that way. I think even though they're known as a finesse team, I think they do bring a certain physicality to the game as well. Marcus Mariota was the best college football quarterback in the country this year. He's giving it to you in the running game. He's giving it to you in the passing game. And I think his versatility, you look at experience just from the quarterback level alone. Obviously, Ohio State has won some big games with this third-string quarterback. But in this particular game, the national championship game, Marcus Mariota just has a ton, a lot more experience than he has. And I think that's going to be the difference in this ball game. I think Oregon wins by 2 touchdowns.
It's going to be interesting, Rob, too, because, you know, Oregon likes to get out fast and keep running and keep scoring as much as they can, too. So I'm kind of curious to the flow of the game. I mean, I kind of think that they are going to do that, but I am going to be curious to see how Urban Meyer is going to try to play a little ball control and keep away from the offense. And, you know, I know that's what a lot of the SEC schools try to do, Rob, try to wear them out physicality, too. But, you know, they're just able to score so quick. You know, we'll see if anyone is going to be successful in that particular instance too. So, you know, there's been some tough teams in their division. You know, Arizona gave them a good game and whatnot. But it's just going to be interesting how they, you know, like you said, they're going to keep scoring, Rob, and trying to keep the foot on the pedal, if you will.
Yeah, you know, one thing you have to think about too from the Ohio State as well, the offensive line is very good. And they're very physical. And, you know, that could be an element that keeps them in this game as well. I mean, they pretty much dominated Alabama's defensive front. And so that should be interesting to watch as well.
Keep moving, too. We're about halfway to the show. Once again, I'd love to throw out the numbers for those that want to call in and give us your thoughts and feedback and tweet, all that fun stuff. To call into the show, the number is 424-243-9519. We're having fun. We're going to keep it moving here. Once again, that number is 424-243-9519. We're talking about some coaching vacancies, Rob. And right now, in a very interesting twist, if you didn't know, obviously Doug Marrone has had a little loophole in his contract, was able to opt out. And the Bills are actually looking to speak to Rex Ryan now. I'm not sure why you just picked this particular one, Rob, but I'm sure you want to elaborate on this particular opportunity and if Rex Ryan is a good fit.
Well, this is going to be very interesting as well. I mean, that Buffalo defense this year was one of the best in the league. Jim Schwartz did a phenomenal job up there, and he's got great personnel, great defensive line. Leotis McKelvin at the corner position. This is one of the best. I think they led the NFL in sacks, if I'm not mistaken. So this defense was tremendous. And obviously, Rex Ryan going there with a team that's already sound defensively. I think if I'm Buffalo here, I would try to find a way to keep Jim Schwartz at defensive coordinator and bring an offensive-minded head coach that can try to see what they can do to get E.J. Manuel going. Rex Ryan is familiar with the division as well, in the AFC East, being the coach of the Jets. I don't think it would be a bad fit. But my first choice would be to see if you can get an offensive-minded head coach. Yeah, Rex Ryan's in for your Atlanta Falcons job as well.
Yeah, the World of Street, he spent about 5 hours with the Falcons, too. So, that's pretty interesting. I don't know if you want to comment on that because, we're kind of in the whole state of mind, we want to improve our defense, but apparently he doesn't even care the least bit about the offense. But, if he had a good offense coordinator, he doesn't really have to worry about that because we definitely need help defensively. Interesting. And also, if you didn't know that the job came down to him and Mike Smith, and Arthur Blank decided to go with Mike Smith too. So, maybe I thought that's a very interesting, turn of events, obviously.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch. And, the thing that Rex Ryan would have to be excited about with getting the Atlanta Falcons job is that, other than, some solid seasons out of Mark Sanchez. He's never really had an elite quarterback, and he'll at least have, something close to that with Matt Ryan at the quarterback position, which, he's never had a quarterback of that caliber with the New York Jets. And he can come in and concentrate on trying to improve that defense, on just getting somebody that can continue the offensive success that Matt Ryan is having.
Appreciate you showing some love that way, too. I'm sure you want to throw your defensive coordinator us, but we'll talk about that in a quick second, too. But, let's keep moving in. And I like your thought process on it, too. I just think it's a coincidence that we both hired both those coaches, and now they're both looking for jobs, which is very ironic, or I don't know how you want to call it, too. Just interesting how that happened. Anyway, let's kind of rank the QBs that are left, Rob, in the playoffs right about now. You got the Andrew Luck, the Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, as well as Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. So what are your thoughts on this, Rob? I'm going to kind of leave it in your hands here, sir.
Well, actually, Ben Roethlisberger is eliminated, so he's not in the final
eight. I'm sorry. I'm going to say Joe Flacco. I'm thinking of Flacco. I'm sorry.
Flacco.
I'm sorry.
Well, right now, I would still have to put Tom Brady at the number one position. He's won 3 Super Bowls, and he seems to be able to do less with more. I mean, he's able to do more with less. Let me rephrase that. Even though he's got Rob Gronkowski's wide receiver score is not the best, and he's able to win some Super Bowls without some elite receiving cores. Of course, they went undefeated a year. You had Randy Moss, and they were tearing up the league. But I'm going to still say he's the guy that I think, of course, the most playoff experience. He's got the 3 Super Bowl rings. It's hard to put anybody ahead of him right now as far as ranking the quarterbacks here in the playoffs. Number 2, I got to go with Aaron Rodgers, even though he's got this calf injury. It's going to be interesting to see what his health level is like. He's got great mobility in the pocket, can throw the deep ball. He's also a Super Bowl champion as well. And, it'd be hard to pick anybody over him as far as starting a franchise with at the moment from the quarterback position. Number 3, you got to go with Peyton Manning, of course. Arguably the greatest all-time regular season quarterback. He has won 1 Super Bowl. Haven't been the most successful quarterback in the playoffs. But it'll be interesting to see how they move forward. The Broncos this weekend hosting the Indianapolis Colts. But right now I have Peyton in the 3 slot out of the current quarterbacks here in the playoffs. And moving on to number 4, Joe Flacco can still throw the deep ball, can still hang in there in the pocket, controls the pace of the game very well, doesn't turn over the ball much, which you know, like from the quarterback position. So he's going to keep in the ball game. Number 5, Russell Wilson. Seattle doesn't ask him to do a whole lot, but he manages the game well. He's cerebral. He's mobile in the pocket, can also run for first downs when need be as well. And he's got a great defense to help him out in Seattle. Number 6, Andrew Luck, probably the most exciting up-and-coming quarterback in the league. I tell you, he had one of the most incredible passes I've seen in a long time where he stepped up in the pocket and threw a touchdown pass on a dart on a run. It was an incredible throw, and that just shows you a little glimpse of his potential and his talent as he's working his way up the ranks here. Number 7, Tony Romo, the Cowboys, arguably having an MVP-type season. Cut down on his turnovers tremendously this season, positioning the Cowboys to a solid season and, you know, a chance for a big playoff game here on the road at Green Bay. And last but not least, out of all the playoff quarterbacks remaining, Cam Newton. You have to be encouraged by his courage and his fight this season. He's battled injuries, then got in a car accident. And, Carolina Panthers made a shift here in the last 4 to 5 games of the season. And it happened right when they played my New Orleans Saints down in New Orleans. They changed their offense. They went to his old spread formations that he ran at Auburn, and it suited his skills tremendously. And ever since they've gone to that, he's been playing outstanding. And it's going to be interesting to see how well he does on the road at Seattle.
He's good, but he's no Tim Tebow, man. You know, that's all I got to say, man. So, you know, I just figured, and I apologize, America. I saw a shot of, like, the Steelers, and I was still Scott thinking about Ben Roethlisberger.
He's in love with Tim Tebow, people.
It's been a minute. I've tried to fit him in the show somehow. All right. Pretty interesting, too. We'll keep that on. Good job as far as ranking the quarterbacks here. Good calls here. So I'm sure we'll get some love. Let's talk about the NFL mock draft, Rob. And you might have if I go ahead and post that, we can post that at the moment because I don't mind posting that to the page.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure we'd love to get some feedback as far as that, too. Unfortunately, if you are a team like us, we had such high expectations and we're picking pretty high. So other than that, we'd love to get some information as far as that. Let's see. Wow, love it. Let's talk a little bit more about the draft here. And I'm going to go ahead and post this as we speak. We got about 7 minutes, so we can spend some time about that, and then maybe we can talk a little bit more as we continue going. Maybe we'll do, like, the top 10 picks here. And I've got something this – if you want to highlight your team too, Rob, the Saints here, we'll talk about the Falcons here. You said this earlier. You've got the Tampa Bay Bucks going with Marcus Mariota. The question I have, if they do, in fact, draft him, do you think he immediately becomes the starter – or do you think that he's kind of on a wait-and-see situation in this particular instance, Rob?
I think you got to put him in the lineup right away. He's got a lot of experience. He's been a 3-year starter at Oregon. I think you have to give him the captain of the ship title and help him to grow and build that offense and build that organization. I think you have to turn it over to him. When you look at Josh McCown, based on maybe a little off with his ending season stats, but I think he's had somewhere around 11 touchdowns and 13 INTs this year. That's nobody you want starting the quarterback position. You might as well start the rookie and let him grow.
this may be another one of the situations where Manning versus Ryan Leaf, I don't know, we'll see how it plays out. Jameis Winston, you know, he's already a lightning rod too. You got him going number two to Tennessee, and I guess you're saying that you don't think that Zach Mettenberger is the answer. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, you just can't pass up with that. The Winston, his talent and ability. Zach Mettenberger, of course, you know, the thing that he lacks is the mobility in the pocket, but the arm strength is there. He can definitely get the ball down the field, but you have to be worried about his pocket presence.
I'm curious, Rob, too. I really do wonder if there's going to be any movement, Rob. You know, are the Jets going to make a move to probably get that top pick? Do you make a move for Jameis or for Marcus? That's another possibility. You know, some thoughts. I know it's very, very early. You know, is Cleveland satisfied with their quarterback? You know, Houston, I mean, you know, what's going to happen? I'm sure, I don't know if you want to have some thoughts about that too, but do you think there's an opportunity for a possible move up for the draft too?
Oh, yeah, there's always that possibility. I think the one team, as you mentioned, would be the Jets. They're in the sixth spot. It'd be a little easier for them to move up into one of those top two spots. They're another team that's definitely desperate for a QB. You know, so they would be the team, in my opinion, to watch. I think Houston would be too much of a price for them to pay to move all the way up from 16. So that would be a challenge for them. Maybe they look at getting one in the second, third round here. I think that would be a little bit of a reach. And I don't think Cleveland is going to take the chance of getting another QB. I think they're going to try to see what they have in Johnny Manziel here and see what they can do to develop him.
Jacksonville, they've already got the quarterback in the future with Blake Bortles last year. You got them picking Randy Gregory, the defensive end outside linebacker from Nebraska. Obviously, great comment. What about this particular move, this particular pick?
Well, you know, you're looking at a guy who's an elite pass rusher, who's very versatile. Could be a third down guy, edge rusher, or, you know, could be a defensive end in your regular 4-3 alignment. So as a guy, it's a very versatile player. Great speed off the edge, and that seems to be one of the stronger positions in this draft. There are a lot of good pass rushers in this draft.
Gotcha. We got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds too, Rob. I do want to spend some more time talking about the mock draft too. So do you want to go ahead and set the stage for the OT portion? And maybe we'll definitely continue this in the OT. We'll talk about real quick about the Hall of Fame and then top five teams in the NBA as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we certainly appreciate everyone tuning in to our live portion tonight. We'll be back at it next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. for our friends in California, and 5 p.m. for our friends in Hawaii. So you definitely don't want to miss it on next Tuesday night. We do have an OT portion that's coming up immediately following this show. Unfortunately, we can't give it to you live, but you click on the same link and listen to it on tomorrow. We still got a lot to discuss in regards to the mock draft, and we'll squeeze in a little NBA and Major League Baseball Hall of Fame as well.
Gotcha. As always, we appreciate, as Rob said, you listening in. It's a pleasure. We appreciate everyone dealing with our schedule, too. We've been having fun. You know, we've been getting settled for the new year, but we most certainly appreciate your feedback. Rob has done a good job of keeping updates as far as what's been happening. You know, we'll keep track of everything that's been going on in all sports, all facets from the NBA, NFL, coaching vacancies. Those will be here. We'll post that. We're looking forward to that, too. Maybe, Rob, I do want to – we may not have enough time for that in this episode, but just kind of talk about the coaches going out. We got a lot of good coaches from, you know, Todd Bowles and Terrell Austin, and you know, it looks like there's a nice influx of new talent, too. So hopefully – we'll get some more details about them coming into the next OT course or the next show as well, too. Hope that's
absolutely
a plan to you, Rob. Excellent. All right. 40 seconds, guys. We appreciate you guys listening in. As always, as Rob said, we'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same channel. Keep those tweets, keep those Facebook posts coming, and we'll definitely update as we go, too. So with that being said, Rob, I am ready to kick this on, too. Do you have anything else to say before we get ready to kick into the OT portion?
Oh, let's do it. Let's move on.
Good deal. All right. as always, we are we get 10 seconds, but we're going to kick right into the OT portion. And we are continuing on with the mock draft. And you got Oakland at number 4 taking Leonard Williams. I'm kind of curious if they're going to actually pull you know, the ghost of Al Davis and actually get Amari Cooper, Rob, the wide receiver, because you know, they, I think they may like Derek Carr as quarterback. Maybe they want to surround him with more weapons. But interesting pick here that you got to take Leonard Williams there.
Yeah, Amari Cooper would definitely be in play here for this particular draft pick. Leonard Williams, you can make a case that outside of the quarterbacks, that he could be the third best player in this draft, an incredible talent. He's a great pass rusher from the defensive tackle position, which are very hard to find this day and age. It would be hard-pressed in the pass up on Leonard Williams. This is an opportunity for them to build on upon that defense. Obviously, we don't know who the head coach is going to be yet, and I think that's going to play a role. But you put him next to Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack quietly in a very good rookie season for Oakland.
Yeah, like it. Now, this could go either direction, Rob. If Oakland does the surprise and gets Amari Cooper, then Washington is probably running up and grabbing Leonard Williams too. So, but yeah, you've got them flipping that and taking the big-time playmaker. Him paired with DeSean Jackson, that would be a pretty lethal combination.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can hopefully that could possibly reignite RG3's quarterbacking ability there in Washington with those kind of playmakers there. Amari Cooper, DeSean Jackson stretching the field. And, I mean, that would definitely bring some explosion. And you can still mix in the running game with Alfred Morris as well. You know, it's all about RG3 and where he is at the quarterback position. And if he can regain some of what he did his rookie season, that would be an explosive offense.
If the Jets happen to stay at number 6, you know, who knows what can happen if they move back from that. But right now we've got to take in Brandon Schiff, the offensive tackle from Iowa. You know, we talk about Kirk Fritz, great line, O-line coach. Tell us about this particular pick right here, Rob.
Well, he definitely, as you mentioned, well coached. You know, Kirk Fritz has an offensive line background. He's the head coach at Iowa, and he produces great offensive linemen year in and year out at Iowa. He's definitely the number one offensive tackle in the draft. And the Jets could probably use some instant help at the right tackle position and probably will start from day one.
I like it. Let's talk about St. Louis here. I'm sorry. The Chicago Bears. I apologize. I'm looking ahead here. Andres Pete, offensive tackle from Stanford. Man, yeah. The way that Jay Cutler was taking a beating, I don't know if it was the line or just him losing confidence or coaching, but interesting pick for Chicago right here, Ron.
Well, once again, the Bears still need offensive line help. Seems like they've been needing it for the last 5 years. And so they still need some offensive line help to improve that O-line. Pete can come in and start at right tackle right away.
Number 8, you got the Falcons here. And while I do think that we need some safety help, I think that right now our pick would be an outside rusher. I think a lot of mock drafts have us taking Dante Fowler from Florida. You got us taking Landon Collins. I mean, so I guess try to sell that to us because we're thinking pass rush, pass rush, and pass rush.
Well, Landon Collins is an elite playmaker with great speed, big hitting ability, force and turnover machine, great tackler as well. And obviously this is a guy that can improve your defense, especially on the back end, instantly. An incredible talent.
That's all you got for me, huh? You think we can get a pass rusher later is what you're trying to tell me right here.
Well, that's probably one of the deeper positions here in this draft. Obviously, your scouting department is going to be really strong to find that right edge rusher. But there are a lot. You'll see quite a few of those here in this first round. There's a ton of them. Even we'll look at the next pick, New York Giants. Vic Beasley, you know, you can make a case that he's one of the best outside linebackers, edge rushers in this draft. Great speed. So you can make a case for him as well, going to Atlanta, number 8, an incredible talent as well.
Let's wrap up the number 2 pick with St. Louis and getting Ronnie Staley, offensive tackle from Notre Dame, following in Zach Martin's footsteps. Rob, I think this could be a good pick. You know, Notre Dame has surprisingly been having a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah, when you look at Stanley, you look at this as a perfect marriage because the Rams is another team that seems like they've been needing O-line help for 5-6 years, and they still do need help. And he will be a great pickup, very well coached by David Shaw. And Stanford is another team that's been putting out great offensive linemen over the last few years.
Let's get to your team, the New Orleans, Rob. You guys have taken Devontae Parker, the wide receiver from Louisville. Any particular reason why you had him going to wide receiver this pick? Is that what you think they need at this particular time, or are you kind of getting the best player available, Rob?
Well, it's a combination of both. I think what you're looking at here is they're getting the best player available at a position of need. Obviously, a corner will be a need. You can make a case that edge rusher will be a position of need for the Saints as well. But, you know, a lot of people are so used to the Saints' offense of explosion, used to putting up 30, 40 points a night from a few years ago. And the Saints' offense still in the league number one in yardage this season. But the fact of the matter is there's some deficiencies on that offense right now. One of them is they don't have the playmakers on the skill positions as they used to have. They don't have any wide receivers that can get behind the defense. You know, Brandon Cooks gave you a little bit of that. Kenny Stills maybe a little bit of that. But they need someone with blazing speed with some size, and that will be Devontae Parker from Louisville.
You heard it there, Rob. That's a good pick, too. And that's another thing I just wanted to, you know, highlight because, you know, I know Marcus Colson is getting a little older. But, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, that offense has always been explosive. You know, they took a step back this year. So if you continue to add to that, I'm sure Sean Payton will do a good job of balancing out those picks and get you guys back to where you guys need to be for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. I wanted to get the top 10 picks. I definitely wanted Rob to kind of speak to his Saints too. Let's talk about real quickly as we kind of advance the OT portion here. We got about 7 minutes or so, about 8 minutes actually. And Major League Baseball, they added 4 members to the Hall of Fame, Rob. Randy Johnson, Craig Biggio, John Smoltz for the Atlanta Braves, clearly, and Pedro Martinez. This is a great class, Rob. What do you think about this class, Rob? Anything you want to say about this for sure?
Oh, yeah, I think it's incredible. You think about Randy Johnson, 6'10", an intimidating physical figure on the mound, and one of the best fastballs that you've ever seen, and a great breaking ball pitcher as well. And dominating force. Pedro Martinez was a pitcher with an attitude. You know, a lot of great years with the Expos, Yankees, Red Sox. So he's done a lot. A phenomenal pitcher as well. Craig Biggio, one of the better second basemen in our era. Did a tremendous job with the Houston Astros as well. And then a guy that you are all very well familiar with, being a Braves fan, John Smoltz. When you think of that Braves pitching staff, John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, that was a staple, and he was a big part of a lot of the success they had over the years as well.
Yeah, this is a great class. It feels like these pitchers, Rob, had a lot of attitude with them, Rob. They just had this, that, you know, the stare downs from the Pedro Martinez's and the Randy Johnson averaging, like, 10 strikeouts, and, you know, just insane, man. But 6'10", he said he was actually appreciative that, you know, the staff gave him time to develop, too, which is pretty interesting that he had a lot of challenges when he first came into the league, too. But just very excited to see them on the Hall of Fame, and these are great, great picks, to say the least.
Absolutely.
They got it right. Yep. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. Now, we got a quick note. Will they ever make it into the Hall of Fame? Barry Bonds was clearly a challenge for media-wise. I think they're going to wait for him as long as they can, which is challenging. He was a talented guy. As far as it sucks steroids-wise, I mean, I don't know if steroids help you hit a baseball because you have to be able to hit it. But it's tough because him and Roger Clemens, those guys pitch with an attitude, man, so. I would think Roger more earlier than Barry, but what do you think about this, Rob?
I think this is going to be a tough one. I think it'll have to be torn. I think it'll be a long time for either one of them if they ever get into the Hall of Fame. A lot of that's still fresh. You know, when you think about Barry Bonds, this guy was an incredible baseball player long before the steroid era. And he was a great defensive player, great hitter, steal bases, hit for power, an incredible baseball player. Definitely one of the best that I've ever seen. And obviously the steroid era has tarnished a lot of that. And the same for Roger Clemens as well. Roger Clemens had a lot of longevity in his career as well. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was pitching in the early 80s for the Red Sox,
yep,
and still pitched to his 2000s. And, you know, that's the one thing that people say the steroids do. It helps you to recover a lot faster, especially from injuries as well.
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest thing, too. I mean, it's tough because, you know, maybe these guys can recover quickly, but I don't know if it adds to certain elements of being able, like I said, to hit a fastball. I mean, you know, that's another challenge, too. But, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of hand-eye coordination when it comes to hitting the baseball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. But, you know, maybe it is.
Steroids don't help with that.
Definitely not. All right, let's keep moving here, Rob. Let's talk about Carmelo Anthony. And I guess, should he go ahead and shut it down for the rest of the season, Rob? What do you think about that?
I just think if his injury is not going to get better throughout the season, and when we look at how bad this Knicks team is, it wouldn't hurt for him to just sit out the rest of the season and recover and get healthy for next season. I know that as a competitor, you don't want to think like that. But at this point, at the rate the Knicks are playing, he should only come back if he's healthy.
The Knicks, man, you talk about, I guess I'm always used to talking about them, and are they still paying Allen Houston and other things to that effect too, Rob? But, you know, they, that's one of the jokes. They made a huge trade. I don't know if you want to talk about that as well. It looks like they're finally cleared up cap space, and it looks like they may start doing it right, Rob.
Yeah, well, obviously Phil Jackson is trying to retool his roster and his image. And so he's trying to clear up some cap space and make room for those type of players. Iman Shumpert and, of course, J.R. Smith going to Cleveland. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact that two of those guys will have in Cleveland. But it opens up cap space for the Knicks.
Let's do the top five teams in the NBA right now, Rob. What are your thoughts?
Well, number one, you got to go with Golden State, arguably the best backcourt in the NBA. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. We know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area, so they're probably going to be happy with me saying that. And they got a good role players, too. Draymond Green, incredible player as well, solid role player. They'll get David Lee back soon. He will help them out tremendously. So this team has a chance to get even better. Especially as we go along in the years with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Number two, I got the Portland Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge. That 1-2 combination is one of the best in the business. And when they get Nick Batum healthy, they'll be a tough out for anybody in the league as well. Aldridge is a free agent at the end of the season. That's going to be an interesting one to watch as well. Number three, to your surprise, is actually your Atlanta Hawks, playing tremendous basketball. Jeff Teague, definitely a candidate for most improved player in the NBA, playing phenomenal basketball, and obviously getting Al Horford back healthy. They're moving the ball well. Kyle Korver shooting well. I can't say enough about Mike Budenholzer. Even though he's on indefinite leave right now, Danny Ferry's done a tremendous job retooling that organization.
Yeah,
and
man.
Number four,
we're impressed. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm excited. Go ahead. You got it.
No. Go ahead. Number four, I'll wrap it up real quick. Number four, the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that has great chemistry. Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley. And last but not least, Dallas Mavericks look like they're improving as they have just got the addition of Rajon Rondo. That's my top five.
Go ahead and wrap up the show, Rob, as we get ready to get into this edition of Talking Sports in 12 minutes.
that's all we have for you tonight, people. We try to squeeze as much as we can. Join us next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss it. We'll be talking more football and basketball.
Good night, people. See you next week.